When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the American Pipeline podcast presented by BetMGM and McKennie Hockey. I am Mike Stevens. This is Sydney Wolf from The Rink Live. Sydney, how are you doing?
Doing good. I'm in another new room today, recording in a different room because the tourney has started for the NCAA. So I've got to make sure in case anything crazy happens, I got it on and mute in the background just in case we get some like wild, I don't know, something, then we can mention it on the show. But you never know. It's going to be a week of just me watching a bunch of games this week, which is super fun though. I love it.
Yeah. This is a blast. This is the best time of this is my favorite time of the college, at least
March
the college
Madness,
hockey.
Yeah.
Yeah. March Madness. You know, we got everything. It's crazy. So with that being said, in terms of the craziness happening in the collegiate ranks, we don't have as much in the USHL. So we'll just cover a little bit, starting with Jack Harvey and his, franchise record setting weekend.
Yeah, we won't have a ton of USHL stuff this week just because we had a ton of like signing notes we have to mention. We have a ton of prospects we have to go through today. And like, obviously we just mentioned NCAA playoffs are going on, the regionals. So we don't have a ton of time for USHL, but don't worry. That means in the upcoming weeks, we'll have probably more when they flip flop and one, you know, gets less busy and one gets more busy. But yeah, Jack Harvey had a really good past week and a half here, or just whole season, I guess you could say too, because he has the new franchise record for the Chicago Steel for career goals scored, which is crazy. I think when I checked, he was at 68 last I checked his stats. So if you hear this weekend, it might be even more now. I don't know, but it's a lot. And before that, it was Matt Coronado had the record, and he's obviously turned into a really good prospect. So it's definitely a good record to break, and he is draft eligible. So Jack Harvey, a name to keep in the back of your minds here for the upcoming draft. I think he was at 132, in that 130 range on the NHL Central scouting list. 5'10" forward from Minnesota. He turns 20 this spring. He's committed to BU, but just a really good player. So that was a big record to break. So possibly a really good prospect to keep your eye on.
Very, very cool. All right. USHL done. Let's get into the craziness that is the NCAA, or the American Pipeline, I guess, from the NCAA. Just crazy sort of news cycle here. And we're going to start because there've been a ton of signings, you know, obviously at this point, a lot of players, you know, they go, they either sign, you know, ATOs, PTOs, whatever, with AHL, ECHL, and then the top ranked sort of prospects, they sign their ELCs, potentially early. And we have a bunch of them here. So we'll mention a couple notable ones, namely Nikita Nestorenko, is right to trade from Minnesota to Anaheim in the John Klingberg trade, but he signed a 2-year ELC and he had a great, He's looked really good in Anaheim so far. He's played games, and specifically, I believe there's a game versus the Flames that they had where he was just on fire. He had like 3 or 4 grade A opportunities. This is an interesting little player.
Yeah. So obviously we can't mention all of the signings for NHL, AHL, and even ECHL, cause there's so many of them, but I thought I would just mention a couple of the early departures necessarily, cause they're foregoing their, you know, remaining college eligibility to leave. And Nikita Nestorenko, like you said, was originally a Wild prospect, but he was part of a bigger deal. So now he signed with Anaheim, and a lot of fans, I thought, kind of like you said, thought he had a really good debut and played really well in that game, even though I think they lost to the Flames that game, but they said he looked good. So that was kind of like the bright spot. Like, at least, you know, they might've lost, but he looked like pretty good out there. So that was a good one. He posted almost a point per game at BC Boston College. So I assume he's going to be appearing in a couple more games here in the next few weeks, since he already made his debut. So he's signed and ready to go.
Very cool. All right. Then we got Brett Bedard, signed his 3-year ELC with the New York Rangers after his sophomore season at Providence College. Again, another very interesting player who also played, he was a world junior player twice.
Yeah, this one was kind of a more of a surprise to some people because he was only a sophomore. So he left pretty early, honestly, from Providence. But it sounds like from what I heard, he's going to be heading to Hartford, the AHL team, and help them round out their roster as they, you know, round out the season and head into playoffs and all that stuff. He was pretty good. I mean, Brett Berard had 24 points in 36 games, so nothing too shabby. Just leaving after your sophomore season, you know, you're leaving a bunch of college eligibility on the table. So a pretty bold move. I know some Providence fans were kind of sad to see him go, but obviously he felt like he had a good opportunity and to take his next step. And obviously he's had some prestige with the World Junior Cup, being on that roster twice, but signed pretty early. So he obviously felt good about the deal, and he looks like he's going to be playing for Hartford here to round out the season.
Very cool. All right. Moving on to a big name here, in Josh Doan, who is he was of Arizona State. Obviously, Shane Doan's son. He was drafted by the Arizona Coyotes. We love nepotism in hockey. So he was actually the captain of the team. Again, another crazy shocker. Who could have foreseen that coming? And now he has signed he has left school. He's turning pro, signing with the Arizona Coyotes, playing with their AHL affiliate in Tucson. 3-year ELC. So he was, you know, obviously 38 points in 39 games this year in a sophomore season as the captain. You know, he's got all the makings of seemingly a good player. And now he's going to become, or he's already on his way to becoming the next sort of next Doan notable name in the Arizona Coyotes organization.
Yeah, so this one wasn't as surprising to me. He was only a sophomore, but I was a little less surprised just because Arizona State isn't in a conference. They're an independent, so when their season's over, if they're not high enough in the pairwise, they're just, you know, done with their season. They don't have a chance to get into the tournament then after that. So I wasn't super surprised by this one, but he is playing with the AHL team. He's already played, I think it's like 4 or 5 games already, and he already scored his first goal. I believe it was in his third game, something like that. So he already scored a goal. Got that done and over with, which is cool to see. But it looks like he's going to be playing in the AHL likely since he's already there to round out the season, and should be a fun prospect because he's hovered around, you know, a point per game in both his seasons he played in college. So it seems like he adapted really well to the NCAA. So we'll see how he adapts to the pro level.
And most fans, you know, if they already have a Shane Doan jersey, they don't have to get a new one.
Yeah, it's the same last name, yeah.
Same last name, and they're back to the Kachina. So, I mean, probably same design as well. Pretty cool. All right, Devin Levi, the one we've been waiting for. He's a Richter finalist. He's had an incredible college career. He's one, like, you listed him as one of the best college goalies of all time. Last episode, he finally signed his 3-year ELC with Buffalo. Now, obviously, I mean, he's incredible, but, you know, our editor-in-chief, Ryan Kennedy, we were speaking about this on the podcast, or the Hockey News podcast earlier this week, and Ryan, again, hates small goalies. He is, like, that is his thing. You know, it doesn't matter it doesn't matter the numbers this guy puts up. If he is, you know, under, I would say, like, 6'1", 6'2", it's a no-go. Devin Levi is 6 feet. Some questions there, but man, this is a big addition to Buffalo, who could potentially have a gem on their hands.
Yeah, I think Buffalo fans were excited about this. I also wasn't really surprised that he signed because I think most people assumed he would probably sign after this year. I think there were just a couple of Northeastern fans that were like just hoping he would come back. But after two just incredible seasons, it seems like he was pretty ready to make the next step. So he signed. He hasn't played in any games yet. So I assume, you know, he's not in a rush to get out there, you know, ASAP. I'm sure he'll, you know, take his time, get out there, and we'll see what he does for his first pro game. And this year, obviously last year, he had an insane year, 10 shutouts, .952 save percentage. This year, a little less flashy, but Northeastern wasn't, I don't know, necessarily as big of a power. He had a .933 this season and 6 shutouts, but still really, really good stats. Obviously, that's still insane. So definitely a bright spot for Buffalo fans to have Levi now officially signed and, you know, in the organization, in the system for sure.
Definitely. All right. Hunter McCowan, Colorado College, signed with Columbus, World Junior guy as well. 3-year ELC, 6'1", and he was a junior this year.
Yeah, this was a big free agent that people were watching for when CC's season ended here last weekend now. But he was a guy that a lot of teams, I think, were probably considering or looking at. But he's officially signed with Columbus. I think I read he's going to be making his debut this weekend. So by the time this podcast's out, he might have made his debut. We'll see. But he had 28 points in 38 games. He's been absolutely deadly on the power play, just a great weapon on special teams. And he's got nice size, 6'1". He's over 200 pounds. So he's already, you know, pretty good size there. And he was a junior this year. So I think it hurt some CC fans to see that he wasn't going to come back for his senior season. But I think most people thought he was probably going to be ready to make that jump.
Hopefully we'll have to see. And then finally, one that happened today, actually, we're recording this on Thursday, is Tyler Kleven, North Dakota, signing with signing his ELC. He is going to be joining the Ottawa Senators.
Yeah, the Sens.
It's a big one.
Yeah, this one, another one I don't think anyone was surprised, because everybody was saying, okay, whenever the season's over for North
Dakota,
he's got to
be coming.
He's gone. Yeah, so he's a big guy, 6'4", over 200 pounds. He's pretty physical. Everyone in college hockey knows he got quite a few five-minute majors in college, which seems kind of bad if you're in college, but if you're in the NHL and you're playing that physical game, that's something that teams need sometimes. You want that big physical player, so that's what he's going to be. But he also gets a decent amount of points. He had 18 points this season. Obviously has been a big guy for North Dakota the past few years, has played in the World Junior Cup. So some North Dakota fans sad to see that, but it was pretty expected. And then his teammate Ethan Frisch, I saw too, just signed, or I guess is going to be on an amateur tryout with an AHL team too. I saw that earlier today. So a couple of departures for North Dakota.
Yeah, that's look, it's tough for North Dakota, but hey, this is exciting time for these young players turning pro. All right. Now, Reese Gabor? How do you pronounce this?
Gabor, yeah, Gabor.
Gabor, okay. Reese Gabor, he's returned to North Dakota for his senior season. So, obviously, you know, a lot of North Dakota losing some players. So they're getting some interesting ones back.
Yeah, this one was the big one that a lot of people were kind of like, okay, well, we'll see. Is he going to, you know, go sign? He's going to be a really big free agent, or is he going to come back? And I think this is probably a good decision. I think Reese Gabor could have easily probably taken a deal here. He's been a huge player for North Dakota the past few years, but he also is really small. So I think too, coming back and just really having, you know, a crazy good final season in college hockey could be beneficial to him, just because I think he's only listed as like 5'8", which again, I have no issue with the short kings in college hockey, but I think some people, you know, when you're going to the NHL, they see that and they go, okay, well, if you're not completely dominating, maybe think about, you know, using up a little bit more college eligibility, mm-hmm. just so that when you come in, you're like fully ready. I don't know. I think he could have been ready, but I think this is probably a good move, a smart move. Just come back, you know, really just have the best season of your life and then decide to go pro after that. But North Dakota, that's kind of a bright spot after they've had some players hit the transfer portal and also some signings. So he's a good player to watch though for next year. This season, he was really good. So yeah, we'll see.
We shall see. To be fair, like we love the short kings here. It's only Ryan Kennedy who doesn't love the short goalies. It's different.
Well, yeah, and I feel like online too, sometimes I always see that, be like, oh, this player's really good, and someone's always going, well, this guy is like 5'8", he's not going to do anything. So
well,
I don't know, I feel like there's
wrong.
A lot of, you know, short king bias.
Short king slander.
Short even? King slander, yeah. So
exactly.
I don't know.
How many times have we been proven wrong with that? Like how many short players have to come in and absolutely tear it up, and then
go,
okay,
sometimes
cool.
It is an issue, but I don't know. I'm watching BU right now, and Lane Hudson's tearing it up on the TV screen behind me, so I don't know.
And I interviewed him at the World Juniors a bunch, and that, like, he's legitimately like a child, like at least his frame. Like he is extremely small. But hey, he's killing it. All right. Transfer portal news and notes. We have a couple here, starting with Arvid Hendrickson, who signed with the San Jose Barracuda. So San Jose Sharks AHL team, instead of transferring, he's turning pro, baby.
Yeah, that was that one player a couple weeks back where I think he was like 25 or going to be 26 or something. So he was getting kind of old, but it looks like he just decided to, you know, take a chance and try out the AHL instead. So we'll see that. Oh, also side note, BU just scored. It's now 3-0. Rip mm-hmm. Western Michigan. Sadly, my bracket's already going to be busted in game one. Love that. But yeah, the transfer portal day one, I believe it was on Monday, was the first day that like non-graduate students essentially could enter the portal. There's like a 60-day window now. And there was a ton of people that entered on day one. It was like open the floodgates, all these players entered the portal. And we have quite a few draft picks actually in the portal as well. The one big one today was Isaac Howard. Put his name in there. I'm sure a lot of people remember his outfit from the draft last year. Very, very flashy looking suit. And he was a late first round pick. So he was really, he's going to be a really high up pick in the portal. People are going to really be interested in him. He played at UMD this season, but I don't think he really had the season he was hoping for, and it just seemed like stylistically he didn't really fit in with like the Bulldog style of play. So I wouldn't really be surprised if he goes out to his like more of like a Big Ten school. Maybe that's kind of like, I have no inside info or anything. I just feel like, you know, I could see him going to like a Michigan or a Michigan State maybe, or something like that. Minnesota, I don't know. So we'll see. I bet he's going to get quite a few calls though, but there's quite a few other good players in here, a couple other interesting draft picks, a couple Nashville picks, and Alex Campbell and Ethan Hayter of Clarkson there in the portal, which is interesting. We already mentioned Henriksen, who signed with San Jose instead of transferring, which is interesting. I'm just scrolling down here. The other big one of this week was Red Savage, another crazy name. We're actually going to talk about him later in the show, so I won't spend too much time there, but that's a big loss for Miami, Ohio. He announced he's transferring to Michigan State, so big pickup there for the Spartans, but that's a really big loss for Miami because he's a Detroit draft pick, World Junior Cup guy, all that good stuff. A couple other draft picks, North Dakota, they had a handful of players here enter. Brent Johnson, he's a Washington pick, is in the portal along with Matteo Constantini, who we talked about, who had a really great freshman season and then sophomore year this year didn't really do very much. So I wasn't really surprised by either of those, but I assume there's going to be some teams interested. Riley Hughes and Jack Hughes, both picks. One's a Rangers pick, one's a Kings pick. In the portal, along with Sam Colangelo, who's an Anaheim pick. They're all from Northeastern. So quite a bit of draft picks here. Liam Gorman of Princeton's in the portal. Patrick Monahan. I forgot how you say his name. He's a New Jersey pick. He's in there. Let me see if there's any other. Jared Moe. And then Ryder Donovan, who technically didn't play this year. He took the season off, but it looks like, you know, a couple of interesting names in the portal. Some draft picks, players looking to shake things up, go somewhere new, try out their luck at a new place. Again, the portal has just exploded this week. We shall see what happens. There haven't been too many commitments yet, but next week I'm sure we'll have even more of an update.
Absolutely. All right, bracketology. It's the NCAA tourney. We're ready. We're rocking. Why don't you take us through a couple of regional picks? Just some notes, and before we hop into the Detroit Red Wings, just endless supply of American Pipeline prospects.
Yeah, so the brackets have already started. I put out my bracket, and I always like to be bold with my brackets. I think, you know, picking the one seeds and everything is boring, and I know it's going to be wrong. I already know my bracket's going to be wrong. I don't think it's going to be right, but, you know, who even cares? I like to be bold with my picks. I already tweeted it out, so don't flame me. I already know it's going to be wrong. It's already going to be wrong in game one. But we have the regionals now. The Fargo regional is Minnesota playing Canisius, St. Cloud playing Mankato. In Manchester, Denver's playing Cornell, BU's playing Western Michigan. That game's happening right now as we're recording, actually, and Western just scored, so we'll see what happens with that. No idea. In the Allentown Regional, Michigan plays Colgate, Penn State plays Michigan Tech, and then to round things out in Bridgeport, Quinnipiac plays Merrimack, very rhymy matchup, and Harvard plays Ohio State. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the regionals. A lot of times I feel like people go, okay, this team, easy, they're going to the Frozen Four. And this year I looked at the bracket, and most of the games I'm like, I think this is a coin flip. So honestly, I feel like anyone's bracket could be right this year. I think there could be a lot of upsets just with the amount of parity we've had this year. So don't count anyone out this year, honestly. I think it's going to be a really fun weekend of games. And next next week we'll have to sort of get back and discuss and see what happened, because I already know there's going to be some chaos.
There's always chaos, but this is a lot of fun. All right, Sydney, let's dive into, I mean, the Detroit Red Wings, they could almost be like, I could almost say that they've just exclusively drafted from the collegiate or the USHL ranks, because it's just an absurd amount of prospects that they have. Let's, at least from what we call the American pipeline, let's jump into those, starting with Robert Mastrosimone.
Long name there. But
what's funny is, like, I saw the, you know, like, I always, like, look at the sheet before we start recording and all that, and I was like, all right, I'm going to mess up that name. Like, I knew I was going to mess it up off the hop, and I was looking to, like, sort of just flow it into it, and I just completely botched it. You know, you make a plan and God laughs. That's what they say. But, yes, Robert Mastrosimone of Arizona State, second-round pick in 2019. This is a decent little prospect we got here.
Yeah, you got it. And like you said, we have a ton of these prospects, so we'll not be able to spend a ton of time on most of these, but we'll try and give you a basic overlook at all the guys.
Let's give it
a
shot.
But yeah, so Mastrosimone, Arizona State. We already talked about some Arizona State guys. He's second round pick in 2019, like you said, 5'10" forward. He's 22, from New York originally. He actually played 3 years at BU, and then he transferred to Arizona State for this year. So we'll see as a senior if he's going to plan on coming back for a fifth season or if he's going to try and sign, because Arizona State's season has been over now. So I don't know. He hasn't done it yet, but we shall see sort of what he decides to do here. He was one of the top guys for Arizona State. He had he was actually their leading scorer, 42 points in 38 games. So I think he definitely could be ready to take that next step, but we'll sort of see what he does this offseason, because he had a really good year this year. So we'll see if he wants to come back for one more college season and really dominate at that level, or if he thinks, you know, I had a really good season, really solid season, I'm ready to take that step. I don't know, but we shall see.
We shall see. All right, we got Carter Mazur. World Junior guy, obviously, you know, he was last year 7 points in 5 games, but this is a third round pick, 2021, forward with Michigan. Very interesting to see his trajectory at a huge freshman season, and followed up with a pretty good sophomore as well this year.
Yeah, Mazur's a guy that whenever he's playing a game against, you know, if I'm watching a St. Cloud game, I never – like, he's so good that I'm always, like, worried when he's out on the ice, because he always does, you know, really great things when he's out there. So he's a really good player, 6 foot, so pretty decent size. They're not too big, not too small. But he had a huge freshman season last year. Now this year, too, he's been really good. Obviously, Denver is going to play later today, the day that we're recording. They're the defending national champs, so he was a part of that last year. Really great guy. He's wearing an A on his jersey right now, so I assume that means he's a good leader as well. And I think he's a big prospect for Detroit, who likely in the next few years, he's going to be really good. I don't know if he would sign after this year or not. He's only a sophomore, but he's definitely good enough that I assume there could be some pressure to do that.
We'll have to wait and see. All right. Then we got Shai Buyam from Denver.
Yeah. Another Denver player, but this is a defenseman now, really big guy. He's 6'3", 220 pounds. So definitely a big dude there. He's a 2021 second round pick. He actually turns 20 next week, so he's still pretty young. He's also a sophomore, but a really talented sophomore too, just like Mazur. 21 points this season. He had 18 points last year. So he's doing pretty good. And he actually has some brothers too that are good hockey players as well. I'm sure people might've heard of his younger brother, Zeev, who's also tearing it up. But he's a good prospect, big defenseman who can also put up some points. So kind of the same thing as Mazur, where I could definitely see him coming back for another season, but I don't really know. We'll see what happens here whenever Denver's season gets over.
We'll have to wait and see. All right, then we got Chase Bradley from UConn, 7th round pick in 2020. But, you know, he's had some nice progression as he's as his NCAA career has unfolded.
Yeah, I think this is one of those 7th round picks that actually has turned out to be fairly good. He's 21, so sort of in the middle age range of some of those college players. 7th round picks are kind of one of those gamble type players at the end of the draft. Last year, he only had 9 points, so kind of typical for a freshman. But this year, he had 20 points, so he, you know, over doubled his point production from last year. So I assume he would easily come back for another year of college. But it's kind of nice to see, you know, you have that first season, you get used to it, you double your points, and we'll see if he can even, you know, get even more than that, maybe double it again next year, because it seems like he kind of just has gotten a little better and better every year. And he's a really experienced guy. He played like 3 full seasons of USHL. So maybe it just, you know, took him a year or two to get used to playing at the collegiate level. But yeah, he's an interesting prospect to have in your pipeline.
Very, very interesting. All right, then we got Dylan James from North Dakota, second round pick last year in 2022. He's pretty young, you know, 19. You know, but he's got 16 points in 36 games played. Now, interesting little player, relatively new pick. So, you know, we're still watching him progress.
Yeah, relatively new pick. I think he's going to be really good, though. I got to watch him in the Clark Cup last year. I went to all of those games in person. And he was really, really good for Sioux City last year when they won the Clark Cup. He hasn't had like the craziest or flashiest freshman season, but North Dakota as a whole kind of just had an underwhelming year this year. So I don't really think that's an issue. I think obviously coming back for them for next year for a sophomore year, I think he could be a really good guy, especially now that they have some players that they're going to need to sort of have someone fill their shoes a little bit. I think he's going to be one of those guys. So I think he's going to be a really fun prospect to watch over the next few years.
Very, very interesting. All right. Cooper Moore, fifth round pick from 2019. You think that he probably could be better than he is, even though he's being all right. What do you mean by that? Let's elaborate.
Yeah, so I think he's good. I don't think he's a guy that's probably at risk of like leaving early or anything like that, just because I think he's good, but I think he could just, you know, keep progressing, keep taking that next step, because his freshman year he had 5 points, then he had 9 points. Now he had 13, and just every year too, just getting a little bit better, a little bit better. So I think he's good, but I don't think he would be somebody that would likely leave after this year. I think that'd be pretty unlikely. I assume he's a guy that's going to be back for his senior season. Hopefully have a really good senior year, tear it up for North Dakota, be one of their, you know, experienced guys, their go-to guys. So yeah, he's pretty good. I wouldn't say there's a ton of like flashiness to Cooper Moore, but I think he'll be back for a senior season and we'll see what he does there.
Cool. Well, now we have, a big trade deadline acquisition by the Leafs, who is currently still in college here. Ryan O'Reilly of Arizona State, obviously not the Toronto one, but 6'3", 220 pounds. He's big like Ryan O'Reilly. And he was a 2018 fourth round pick, junior at ASU.
Yeah. So same spelling when I was typing the name in there, but it's just a different Ryan O'Reilly, I guess. So must just be a good hockey name. But yeah, really big guy. He's a guy that is just kind of like that big type forward. I mean, he's not going to be putting up crazy points or anything, but he's a huge dude at 6'3", 220. So I assume he's going to bring, you know, a little bit of that physical presence and also get a couple of points along the way as well. So that's definitely, you know, a guy that if you're like, okay, I need a forward that's big, he can be a little physical and pick up a couple of points along the way, then this is probably the guy you're looking for, not somebody who's going to be crazy flashy or get a ton of points, but could be a solid depth piece.
Definitely could. And speaking of solid depth pieces, we got Red Savage here, you know, fourth round pick in 2021, big world junior guy, national team development program. You know, he had a bit of a rough year just collegiate wise. Set 14 points in 32 games this year. Miami, Ohio was bad, which is likely why, or a big reason why he's transferring. But this is a very interesting player, a guy who, you know, is kind of like a high end sort of checker, at least from what I've seen. Could be a very useful piece down the line if he keeps progressing.
Yeah, he's going to be really interesting to watch just because obviously we said Miami, Ohio hasn't been a very good team in the last few years. So now that he just announced he's transferring to Michigan State, that could just be, you know, kind of a fresh start for him, and hopefully could be a good change for him and he can kind of just tear it up hopefully for the Spartans for the next 2 years, I assume. But he's a guy pretty normal size. He's listed at 5'11", so nobody's super tall. But yeah, he's been a good player. He's been one of Miami's, you know, main guys. But now that he announced he's leaving, that's not great for Miami fans. I know they are pretty bummed about that one. Didn't have very flashy points this season, so I would hope that next year he kind of can, you know, get on that new team, fresh start, tear it up, and there you go. But I don't know. We'll sort of see what happens if that the point production was just a result of playing for Miami or what. I don't really know.
We'll have to keep an eye on it. All right. Moving on to John Adams as American of a of a name as it gets from yeah. Notre Dame. Now this is the guy. This 26-year-old on his third school. He's like this.
Yeah.
You know, this guy is 1 year younger than I am, and thinking about being in college right now is just absolutely absurd. 26-year-old guy. On his third school, you got to be out of eligibility by now, you'd think. But he's huge. He's 6'6", 216 pounds, and he's a sixth round pick from 2017.
I assume that was kind of his thing that got him drafted was just his size, because he never really had like super great success in college, because he had 3 years at Union, did like pretty well, then played at Providence. I don't think he played that season, and then played at Notre Dame, and you know, is been okay. I don't really see him having like an impact in a pro team though, because he's big, but it seems like he's not bringing a ton else besides that. So kind of an interesting prospect, but I don't know. It seems like maybe it was just his size that got him drafted, and he was drafted like 6 years ago. So yeah. That was a long, long, long time ago.
Man, so he was drafted 6 years ago, and he was already like a two-time overager. Like,
yeah, so nuts. I don't know if maybe that was just a pick that thought would hopefully pan out better, development would get, you know, a little higher, but I don't know. I don't really see it too much there.
All I gotta say is kudos to this guy for being able to just stick around.
Stick so around and play for so many teams. Yeah. And,
like, and holy smokes, man. This guy's just been hanging around forever. All right. Sam Strange from Wisconsin, 21-year-old. He is a fourth round pick from 2020.
Yeah, I feel like Wisconsin picks are always kind of hard to gauge a little bit, just because a lot of the players at Wisconsin, they have a ton of draft picks, but they just haven't been a good team really in the past few years. So kind of hard to tell. 6'1" forward. He had 11 points this year, so nothing too flashy. He's a junior and hasn't really been able to find his point scoring once he got to the NCAA level. Like, he had a lot of points, then he got to college and hadn't really been able to put up very many. But now at Wisconsin, they're going to have a coaching change. They're going to have to hire a new coach here. So I don't know if he's going to stick with Wisconsin, if he's going to, you know, try and hit the transfer portal. We'll see. You know, things always change with when, you know, head coaches change. So we'll see if anything happens for him next year. But I assume, you know, he's going to definitely need a senior season and see what he can do there.
Absolutely. We're getting close to the end of the list here. Not quite. Yeah. We got Ethan Phillips of Boston University, fourth round pick in 2019.
This is one of those smaller forwards, 5'9". He's playing on the right wing of the top line. I'm watching BU play right now. I've heard his name a couple of times already today. He's a senior at BU. He's not a guy who's going to post a ton of points or anything. He has 7 points this year. I've heard he's kind of more just a defensive forward type of guy. Just not really that like flashy point score type of forward. I assume he might be a guy who maybe would try and utilize a fifth season. We'll see that fifth year of eligibility. I don't really know. We'll see how far BU goes this year in the postseason, because as of the time we're recording right now, BU looks like they're probably going to win this regional matchup. So I don't know. We'll kind of see what happens with the end of the season for BU and what he decides to do for next year.
We sure will. All right. Then we got Kyle O'Coin, son of Adrian O'Coin, who was just a well-known NHL journeyman. I also believe he was the captain of the Chicago Blackhawks at one point. But this is Kyle O'Coin from Harvard, sixth round pick in 2020, left shot defenseman, not going to put up a ton of points, but hey, you know, he's got that O'Coin pedigree.
Yeah, it's kind of struggled a little bit in the NCAA, to be honest. I mean, he was a sixth round pick, so it was never somebody you thought was going to like put up crazy points or anything. But left-handed defender, he's got 2 points as a sophomore, but he's still young. As a sophomore, you got plenty of time to, you know, keep going, keep developing, keep learning. So I assume he's going to, you know, pretty easily be back, I assume, for Harvard for next year.
You got to think so. All right. Now we're finally close to reaching the end of the list here. Owen Mellenbacher, he's the lone USHL guy here of Fargo. 6'2", he's from Ontario, 19 years old. He was a 2022 seventh rounder, so a guy from the seventh round in this most recent draft. He's got some size. He's still got a ton of ton of runway ahead of him. So we'll have to see what he does.
Yeah, this is another pretty good seventh round pick, honestly, because he's done pretty well, pretty good size at 6'2". He has 12 points so far in 15 games for Fargo. He got traded in the middle of this year. So he's played in a lot of games. Just he played for Muskegon most of the time and then now is in Fargo. And he's committed to Wisconsin. But again, with that coaching change, we'll see if that sticks or not. I don't really know. But he's played already quite a few USHL seasons. So we'll see if he decides to go to college after this year or if he wants to play juniors for another year. But that would be a lot of USHL seasons.
Absolutely. And then finally, we have Brennan Ali, another 2022 seventh rounder, but he's 6 foot center from. So he's not the only USHL guy. My bad. We have Brennan Ali, who's rounding up the list. He's from.
We had a lot of prospects. So
yeah, my brain is mush at this point. But he's from Lincoln of the USHL, another 2022 seventh round pick. But he had a good season this year in terms of points production, 35 points in 46 games. A 19-year-old, not too shabby. Committed to Notre Dame. Let's see.
Yeah, another pretty good value for a seventh round pick, to be honest with you. I mean, he's been doing pretty good in the USHL. I don't know how he'll adapt to the collegiate level, but it seems like those two USHL picks, pretty good value for seventh rounders. He has like 35 points, so that's pretty good. 19 years old. We'll see what he does whenever he goes to Notre Dame. He played a little bit for the NTDP and then also played before that for Avon Old Farms and then Chicago Mission as well. So it seems like a pretty good pick, but we'll see how he does down the line in a few years.
We shall see. Well, we have reached the end of Detroit's just extremely extensive list.
Very long.
and we've also reached the end of the show. This is, like we said, the most exciting, most fun time in the NCAA calendar and in the American Pipeline calendar. So stay tuned for that. We'll be back next week to tee it all up and enjoy yourself. Thank you, Sydney, for joining me as always. Yeah, we'll be back next week.